This is Bronco Tuesday, where we discuss the Olympic sports at Boise State. Now here are Paul J. Schneider, Chris Walton, and the voice of the Broncos, Bob Beeler, on 670 KBOI.
Paul J. still a little under the weather, so David Allen in for him. Bob Beeler doing a little thing in Nevada called a basketball game tonight, so he's not here. So Chris Walton joins me.
Hey, I'm still here.
In the next title studio, we get a lot of royalty here and important people, but nobody ever is a champion. Congratulations, Coach Jeremy Kipp and the swimming and diving team from Boise State, Mountain West champions. Congratulations, right, guys.
Thanks a lot. Thank you.
We have Brittany Oeyama, Felicity Kahn, and Carly Creek. Is it Crewell?
Crewell.
All with us. You have to tell me what it was like Saturday to win that championship.
It got cold. A Gatorade bath was actually a little known fact about those. They actually go down to your shoes and your socks. And it was a lot of fun. We kind of got on a roll, and we just didn't stop till the very last swim, which was awesome.
I understand this is for the school like the fifth win in the last 10 years.
Third Mountain West championship.
Third Mountain West, and then two WAC. Yeah. Okay, so fifth championship though of any kind. That's got to be a good feeling as you're building a program and building and building and building a program.
I think so. There was a little bit of pressure when I took the job personally. I mean, 2 years ago, the team had won two prior Mountain West championships, and this group of girls, the captains, had been second twice. They'd won their freshman year, so there was kind of a little bit of pressure to put the team back on top. And, you know, I give a lot of credit to the captains in the room here, because without their vision and, you know, their everyday commitment to that, it wouldn't have been possible.
Brittany and Felicity, you guys both swim the fly and the free. So how did you do in the meet, and what was that energy like as you guys are getting ready to win?
Conference is just like a great meet to be at. You can really feel like the team atmosphere and the team supporting you and cheering throughout your races.
Yeah, I just swim the freestyle, but
now see, your bio said you do fly and free. I apologize. I tried to cheat to get ahead.
Fly practice.
No, yeah, but like Brittany said, it's just great. Like going into conference, having the team really just on the same page and really pumped up and excited to swim fast.
Carly, you're with diving.
Yep.
So unless it's a cannonball, I don't do any diving. So what is your preeminent dive that you do?
Well, we have to do three different boards. So we do the platform, we do 3 meter springboard, and we do 1 meter springboard. So I have to say I like the 1 meter springboard, the lowest one best. I'm not really a huge heights person. So I really like the front 2.5 pike on the 1 meter springboard.
How high is the platform?
It's the 10 meters, 33 feet.
That's ridiculous. There's no way you should ever dive from there.
No, just out of curiosity, if you're not into heights, I'm not either. But then again, I wouldn't get up on that platform. So, I mean, how did you get into diving?
Well, I was a gymnast for like 13 years. So once I got an injury with gymnastics, I kind of switched over to diving because it's kind of similar with the flips and twists. And it was just a little bit less harsh on my body. And so when I do go up to the platform, I kind of look down. I stay up there as like least amount of time as possible. So I get up there and I go quick.
So Felicity and Brittany, you guys are from California, Washington. But Carly, you came from Minnesota. How do you get to Boise State from Minnesota?
I had a passion for Boise State. I mean, the only thing I really knew about it at the time was the blue field, which is kind of stereotypical, but yeah, I came on a recruiting trip just cause I had a passion to come out to Idaho, go somewhere different than Minnesota. And I came out and loved it. Kind of reminded me somewhat of Minnesota too. So now I'm at Boise State.
And it's slightly warmer.
Yeah. Yeah. The seasons are
nicer. That's true. Jeremy, as you're seeing the scores pile up Saturday and when did you start to think, this is within our grasp, or do you ever take the chance to get that far ahead for fear that you're going to be wrong?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little bit superstitious in that I'm not going to start celebrating until it's over. To be honest, though, I mean, I think on the first night, these guys are being really humble. Like, Brittany won two individual events, and Felicity was part of a relay championship. And the first night, we won the first relay by 3.5 seconds, which was a 200 sprint relay. And to win that type of relay by that much, it was, I think we had put the rest of the teams on notice, and then we just kind of started rolling. And the first night, the first full night, we got 1, 2, 3 in the 50 freestyle. Brittany was second. Caitlin Martin was first. You know, Brittany had set the school record in the morning, and then Caitlin topped it. You know, when you have two swimmers breaking school records in the same day, you know, I kind of knew then that we were going to be a handful for the other teams. But I didn't really start smiling to that last night.
Fantastic. Mountain West champion swimming and diving are with us on Bronco Tuesday. We'll be back after this on 670 KBOI.
Now back to Bronco Tuesday on 670 KBOI.
Welcome back. Mountain West champion swimming and diving from Boise State is with us. Coach Jeremy Kipp, Brittany Oyama, Felicity Khan, and Carly Kriegwell are all with us. I want to ask everybody, because everybody gets really excited for swimming and track during Olympic years. So how do you guys keep that motivation up all year long and get people to come out to the meets? And obviously championships always help. They don't hurt. But how do you get people say, it's 2017. I know it's not the Olympics, but holy crap, we're winning awards. Can people come out and see us?
Well, yeah, they can, definitely. I mean, the Boise YMCA is a great place to go and watch. One, it's a great place to go and learn, to get exposed. So kids who are interested should go out and at least learn how to swim. And I think, you know, getting to see girls like Brittany, Felicity, even Carly off the boards is a great way to bridge that gap to the Olympic year. The Olympics are awesome, but, you know, these girls' short course yards are a lot different. It's a lot faster. And, you know, these are pretty exceptional athletes, so come on and watch.
Couple of questions for you. Who was your biggest competition this season? And the second question is, where have you been that had the best facilities?
Our biggest competition, I think, was probably Reno and San Diego State. I mean, San Diego State actually put on a really good championship, and they were probably our biggest threat to the championship. We did lose one meet. We lost to UCLA this year, unfortunately, which is going to sting a little bit. And I was at USC for 8 years before Boise State, and we had a pretty nice facility there. So any of the facilities in the Pac-12 are pretty nice.
Yeah. Also Stanford.
Stanford's not bad. I've heard they've got a good program.
Sure, sure. Carly, you've got Zone E diving coming up. I'm not asking about expectations, but what do you just want to, on your own personal level, what do you want to achieve there on maybe personal bests and things like that?
I think something interesting about the zones this year is last year, actually, since it was an Olympic year, like you said, a lot of the divers were gone due to training, Olympic shirting, red shirting, etc. So it will be kind of a fun meet to see those divers come back that just went to Rio, some from Stanford, etc. So that's going to be kind of fun to watch. But also, for me, being a senior, I just really want to end on a good note, end on a good meet, and just do the dives that I know how to do to the best of my ability.
And Brittany and Felicity, you guys got, obviously, the NCAAs coming up in the middle of next month. What do you guys want to get out of that?
I just want to, you know, have a good experience. It is my last swim meet ever, so it's going to be a little emotional after 17 years of swimming. But, you know, they say once you make NCAAs, you're just dancing. So I just want to go and compete and have a good time.
Yeah, I'm excited to, like, them, like, finish on a high note. And, like, going to NCs in the past years, I'm excited to, like, use the experience and, like, what I've learned going to the meet and really just see what I can do. And I'm excited to go with a fun group of girls.
You were talking about it being your last meet. Do any of you plan after college to keep up with the sports? I mean, what can you do?
not swimming. I'm gonna step away for a few years, let my hair and my body recover. But maybe one day in the future.
Yeah. Right now, I actually help our head diving coach the little kids at the West YMCA. So I'll continue doing that, but I don't know if I'm going to actually get on the boards again. I'll probably take a break.
Yeah, I'll take a break from swimming for a while, too.
I want to ask you all, just because I know when I was in college, it was hard enough to have a regular job and try to juggle classwork between practices and meets and all the classwork. Did you just have to work it out and find a way to juggle everything, or did you have some slip-ups and learn from your mistakes?
It's definitely really hard. There are a lot of girls who, you know, we do have part-time jobs and internships, and obviously swimming in school is number one, so that takes up a lot of time, but you kind of just figure it out. You do slip up and make mistakes, but you learn as you go, and you realize you can handle a lot more than you think you can.
Yeah, I think something that I know for me, being a senior, being senior year, just communicating with my coaches when it comes to school, because we got a 3.6 GPA last
Fantastic.
Fall. Yeah, so we take our academics really seriously as well as our swimming and diving. But just communicating with my coaches when maybe I've stretched myself too thin or I have that paper that maybe I didn't plan accordingly, and they're really understanding about it, just to make sure I'm doing what I need to do in the classroom, not just the pool.
It seems to be the case when we hear about, especially the female teams at Boise State, when it comes to GPAs, they're usually pretty sky high.
We're all trying to keep up with gymnastics, and you know, we all want to win the GPA award. You know, a lot of competitive coaches, but obviously you've got a lot of Type A athletes who are really driven, really disciplined, and they kind of take it upon themselves. And as a coach, like, you actually have to be careful. You don't really need to put a lot of pressure on some of these athletes, because there's already a lot of intrinsic pressure. You could send somebody kind of off the rails real quick, putting a little too much pressure on them.
Coach Kip, Brittany, Felicity, Carly, thanks for coming in. Congratulations again. That's
a huge
championship. And best of luck in the diving and best of luck in the NCAAs.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. It's Bronco Tuesday on 670 KBOI.
You're now back to Bronco Tuesday on 670 KBOI.
All right, we got about 3 minutes left in the show, so we bring Bob Beeler in from Reno on the show as he's getting ready to call tonight's game. A very important game, even before last night's results, when Colorado State beat New Mexico to take a half-game lead. Right, Bob?
It certainly is. Boise State and Nevada both come into this game 10-4 in the conference, so whoever wins the game will end up in a two-way tie with Colorado State. But Boise State, I think it's defensively, you know, they've got to kind of control a very high-scoring team for Nevada. And then Boise State also has to shoot the ball better than they did, shot the ball only 35%. As we've chronicled, if Boise State shoots under 40%, they lose. They are 0-4 when that happens. When they shoot over 40%, they win. They are 10-0 when that happens.
Feels like this may be a real turning point in the season, but come to think of it, most games feel like that with this team.
Well, most games in this conference. I said at the beginning of the year that I thought the league winner would have four losses. And that's the best-case scenario for whoever loses. Colorado State and Nevada have to play a week from Saturday, so somebody else is going to get a loss there. Boise State playing Nevada tonight. So, you know, there's still a lot of games left to be played. Wouldn't shock me if everybody takes another loss between now and the end.
Kudos to you. I mean, that was a terrific prediction, just because, you know, right now it's exactly what it is, you know, three teams with four losses.
Well, I mean, you just look at the teams. They're very evenly matched. I don't know that I can remember – maybe 1 year way back in the 80s, I was in a conference where there was only 8 teams that was pretty even, where the bottom wasn't bad and the top wasn't that great. But that's the whole thing in this thing, guys. The top is not great. It's good. But the bottom is better than it's been. So, you know, when you look to the tournament coming up in a couple of weeks, I think there's probably 5 or 6 teams that can win the whole thing. But I think all 11 can win at least a game.
Wow. Bob, not asking for a prediction, but is this a game where the first 5 minutes of the first half or the first 5 minutes of the second half can tell you a lot about how it's going to play out, or should we just let all 40 minutes wash over us?
Well, I think all 40 minutes are going to be key, but the last meeting with Nevada in Boise, Cameron Oliver had 3 blocks in the first 5 minutes. It kind of took Boise State out of the game. There's probably going to be 10,000 people here tonight. I think that the first 5 minutes are going to be key because the games that Boise State has not won, you look at the 2 games with New Mexico, the game with Nevada, the game with Fresno, they've been down big at halftime. So I think the first 5 minutes, David, I agree with you, are going to be crucial tonight.
Sounds like the strategy would be to start off the game and be nowhere near the basket.
To shoot threes in the first 5 minutes.
Well, they're not getting blocks. Threes. I mean, they were 1-for-12 against Nevada in the second half, shooting threes last time. So easier said than done. Nevada, very good defensive team around the perimeter, very athletic. Foul trouble could be key. Nevada plays 5 guys, starting 5, all over 30 minutes a game. So they're a lot like Colorado State, in which they don't go to the bench a whole lot.
Big game tonight, 6:30 pregame with you and Abe.
No, 7:30.
7:30 pregame with you and Abe. Then 8 o'clock tip, and it'll be exciting and a lot of fun and a big game. Like I say, if whoever wins tonight comes out in a tie and the other team is a game behind going into the last 3 games of the regular season. And you want to win and come in first because you want that bye or that number one seed in the tournament, right?
Yeah, you also want the guaranteed spot in the NIT, too.
All right, Bob. Have a great call tonight. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
We will talk to you tomorrow sometime, but certainly we'll talk to you next Monday on Bronco Monday. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk about raising the minimum age of buying cigarettes here in Idaho, and if it's the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard.
Or not.
And national news, local news with Rick coming up. Chris and I will be back on 670 KBOI.
If you're talking about it...
They're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Schneider still a tiny bit under the weather. Hopefully he will be back tomorrow. David Allen with you. Chris Walton with me. Todd with 1D, manning all the controls.
Isn't it funny, when you say people are under the weather, almost they're almost exclusively indoors.
Yes. Which is technically under the weather.
They're really, well, not really. It's under the roof.
Yeah, but what's on top of the roof? The weather.
The weather.
The roof.
So
the
I guess,
roof.
Yeah, you're not directly under it, but you are still under it.
See?
Yeah.
I win. All right.
So like I'm probably under the space station right now, but
exactly.
I don't know.
I'm under Pluto. You
right.
earlier said something
not,
about Pluto.
Not
so.
Going to affect me, probably.
Yeah. So I don't know if you knew this or not, but the legislature is going on here in Idaho.
Yeah, I'm aware.
All right. That's good. We're off to a good start then.
I didn't say that. I just said I was aware.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
This came up yesterday in Nate's show, and it happened yesterday, so we didn't get a chance to talk about it mm-hmm. because it happened after we were off the air. But it's something that makes me crazy and always has and always will. Senator Fred Martin from Boise, Republican, says he wants the state to raise the smoking age from 18 to 21. He's been serving on the state's Millennial Fund Committee, which directs proceeds from a nationwide tobacco settlement to health-related programs, including, quote, spending millions of dollars to encourage young people to not start to stop smoking. Martin said he started to wonder about diminishing returns. Quote, statistically, I've seen as high as 95% of adult smokers started before the age of 21. So if we want to do something, really do something, I think if we cut off the source, that would hopefully help.
Have you ever known anybody that smoked that said, I didn't start till I was 43?
Nope.
No,
everybody
neither
started
have I.
At 13 or 14.
Basically, it's whenever you could manage to get away for a few minutes and steal a cigarette.
Yeah. Now.
Right.
Two things. Everybody, it's 2017, right? Let me look at the calendar.
It
yep.
is. Yeah.
It's 2017.
All year.
Everybody, I mean everybody, knows that smoking is bad for you, right?
I would assume, yeah. Anybody who actually has any kind of language skills has more than likely heard this.
Has a pretty good possibility of giving you cancer and killing you sometime in your life.
Sure. Isn't that part of the adventure?
I would think so. You're trying to dodge a bullet every time.
I don't smoke, so I don't know. You know,
I don't either. Never had a cigarette in my life.
I don't know whether just like, you know, the Marlboro image.
Yeah. Just want to be the Marlboro man.
Magnificent Seven and all that. I don't know whether that's why people smoke or just because they're nervous or what.
I think people smoke because their parents smoked and their grandparents smoked.
Lots of reasons,
yeah. But I've never had a cigarette in my mouth.
I know why after a few months why they still smoke.
Yeah.
But why they start is usually kind of a...
So, truth be told, and I have never smoked, so...
Okay.
I don't know that we're the best judge of why people start to smoke, but...
However, we both grew up in an era when people walked into your house smoking a cigarette and everybody had an ashtray, even if you didn't smoke.
And people at your workplace smoked.
Sure.
And people
who were sitting at... I mean, like, this. There are three of us in this studio right now, and I used to work in a studio on a show with three guys, and two of them smoked, and I didn't, and I sat between them.
Yeah.
And, let's put it this way. I might as well have been smoking.
Yeah, it was a smoking Oreo for you.
I was addicted to secondhand smoke or something.
In my high school, there were certain areas of the campus you could smoke in.
Yeah.
And that's 1979, 1980.
My high school was supposed to be smoke-free.
That might have been junior high you could smoke. Yeah. That was even junior high you could smoke in certain areas.
My high school was supposed to be smoke-free, but the back parking lot was not smoke-free.
Yeah. So here's my point about smokers and smoking.
Cool cars back there, too.
If you want to smoke, smoke.
Yeah.
I don't understand, because you said a good point this morning when I said I wanted to talk about this. If you're 20 years old and you have your military ID, which says you can go A, be killed, or B, kill, you're going to be able to buy smokes at the smoke shop here in Boise with your military ID, even though you're only 20?
Here's what I've said for like 4 million years.
Oh, that's a long time.
I've never completely understood why everything has to be either 18 or 21. Those numbers seem fairly arbitrary.
It's arbitrary. Yeah. Why don't we make smoking 35?
Okay,
or 6?
18, you're either out of high school or getting out of high school.
Yeah.
Assuming you finished.
Yes.
And at 21, you're, you know, either well into college or you're out of college or you're, you know, you're working and
you're able to buy a drink.
Depending on who you are, maybe starting a family, whatever.
Yeah.
And so your own choices are turned over from your parents to you gradually. However, in some cases, they're turned over, you know, from the government to you. And this to me goes back to, what is government actually for? One of the purposes of government, obviously, is to protect the citizens. However, we generally limit that to military and police.
Yes.
In other words, we're protecting you from criminals who may want to hurt you. Or cause you harm, kill you, whatever. We're protecting you from terrorists. We're protecting you from armies and navies and dictators and all sorts of things all over the world. And good, that is what government is supposed to do. Are they supposed to protect you from yourself? Are you supposed to be protected by the government from being an idiot?
Sometimes,
because
yes.
they don't. There are so many aspects of life where you can be an idiot and ruin your life that they don't even protect you in.
Yes, 100% agree.
But when it comes to whatever you want to smoke or drink, they would like to have a say in that.
They would like to have a say.
Now, ultimately, the government is the people. So the people apparently at some point wanted rules. Back in 1919, we had prohibition,
mm-hmm.
which lasted until 1933. When they said, it's the Depression. Why don't we let people drink?
Yeah.
But because they're depressed anyway.
Because they're already depressed. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, it wasn't exactly that. But it's just that at that point, the government said, hey, if you're an adult, if you're a kid, first of all, I think if you're a kid, your parents have an obligation to protect you from things and
yes.
to teach you what is good and what is bad.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mine did. Yours did.
Yep.
Some people's parents don't. Some people's parents don't know what's bad, but, everybody's different, obviously. But should we have this whole list of things that the government is in charge of that we either are allowed or not allowed to do, or was the whole purpose of America to be able to pretty much do what you want, not just in business, but in all aspects of life?
I'm going to give you my libertarian rant on smoking when we come back. It's 9:14. 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, or #670 on Verizon Wireless. Raising the smoking age to 21 in Idaho. That's the topic on 670 KBOI.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 3, listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
Rush at 10, Savage at 1, Nate at 3. Your rewards code today, smoking. S-M-O-K-I-N-G, smoking. Go to KBOI.com.
So today people will be rewarded for smoking.
Yes, they will.
Or just the word smoking.
You'll get 5,000 rewards points. 5,000 rewards points for entering the keyword smoking at KBOI.com. All right.
All right.
My libertarian view on this. And I had it when government started to outlaw and make it a law that businesses couldn't have smoking in their restaurants and stuff like that.
Okay.
Which a lot of people like. And I don't like sitting around smokers in a restaurant either. But it's not my choice. The business should be able to run their business as they want. And if they want to have people smoking in there, they should be able to have smoking in there. And if I go there and I don't like the smoke from the smoking, then you know what I'm going to do?
Yeah.
I'm going to find a different restaurant to go to.
Now, are you of the opinion then that smoking is an action, a habit, or is it a lifestyle? Because smokers say they're being discriminated against.
They are.
But, okay, they're being discriminated against if you believe that smoking is something you have to do. If you believe smoking is something that can darn well wait until you get home, then they're not being discriminated against.
But you can't even smoke in a bar where you can wait till you get home to drink, too.
That's a good point.
Can't you?
Sure.
All right.
But
to me, if smoking is so dangerous to mm-hmm. us that you can't sit in a restaurant and have smoke, and you can't smoke in a car with your kids yeah. in the car,
well,
then outlaw smoking. Just make it illegal to smoke.
I was mentioning that part of the government's job is to protect us. But again, that's protect us from predatory things, predatory people, for the most part. Protect us from, if you can, hurricanes and stuff like that as
sure.
well. However, there are some choices that I believe should be left up to a family or to an individual himself, at a certain age. And again, when I started the thing about, I said, why are 18 and 21 the two ages? Because to me, that seems a bit arbitrary that it either has to be 18 or 21. And, our drinking age, when I achieved drinking age in Idaho, let's put it that way, it was 19 and so was I. And then when I was about 24, they changed it to 21.
Yeah.
Which did not affect me and probably wouldn't have that much anyway. But people use the term like nanny state.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I would even call it a babysitter state. Do we need a babysitter to say, no, slap your hands away from stuff that is dangerous? Or by the time you're an adult, should you know what's dangerous and what's not?
Well,
how about by the time you're 12?
And if you don't, then you don't.
Yeah. I like Fred Martin.
Fred Martin's a good guy.
Yeah. Fred Martin is a good guy. And he is a representative from my district, District 15, where I live. Which, as I said, is why when he comes in here, he brings donuts.
Donuts.
Yeah, it might be a joke. But anyway, he does bring them, so that's nice.
Maybe not.
But I just think that, and let's put it this way. I know darn well, I know Fred well enough to know that Fred means well in this. He really would like people who are less than 21 years old not to smoke at all. But as we know from all sorts of different laws, it really doesn't prevent you from doing it if you want to. It just makes it illegal, and so you're breaking the law.
Exactly. 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, #670 on your Verizon Wireless. Let's go to Don. Don, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you?
Hi. Good morning. Hey, my daughter lives in Ontario. I live in Kooski. I listen to you on the computer all the time.
Great. Thank you.
I'm clear over on the coast, but I just hit your button, and I got you clear over here.
Wow, fantastic.
Nice.
Well, what I wanted to say was the problem why the government always wants us to do things is because, and I'm with you as a libertarian, I should be able to do what I want. But as long as the government's in the healthcare business, mm-hmm. and you go out and burn your brain up on drugs or get addicted to cigarettes and get cancer, everybody comes back and starts crying to the government and says, well, you got to take care of me. If the government would completely get out of the healthcare business, you should be able to do anything you want as long as you aren't interfering with somebody else's rights.
You know, and I understand that, and I don't necessarily think this would work for everybody, but there was a time when families more or less stayed together, and I don't mean necessarily they all had to live in the same house or even in the same town, but they felt like they had an obligation, or they just did it. They took care of each other. And if, you know, if somebody got cancer or something like that, the rest of the family took care of them. And there are still lots of places where that sort of thing happens, in like particular churches and stuff like that. However, mm-hmm. it's less of a culture, you know, in America than it used to be. People tend to want to go out and do their own thing. And you know, some people like to live thousands of miles away from their parents and the rest of their family.
But the government just, the churches used to take care of you.
Yeah.
And family members. The whole system, when we start turning to the government, is where we went wrong. If we want to have freedoms, we have to have our responsibilities. But yet there's people that they do whatever they want, and at 30, they go to the government and say, hey, I'm an idiot because of things I did. You got to take care of me for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I worked for 40 years, and I got hurt. I'm 65 now. And there's people on disability because they burnt their brains up on drugs. They get more money on disability than I get after working 40 years. I mean, something needs to be done about this system.
All right, Don, thanks for the call. We appreciate you listening way out there, too.
Okay.
That's great.
Yeah,
and the word he said there that I picked up on mm-hmm. is responsibility. People don't want to take any personal responsibility at all for anything.
And responsibility is something I think that, it comes from within, but I think it also comes from your upbringing. You know, before you're 5 years old, your parents probably can tell whether you're going to be responsible or not. I mean, there are kids who are responsible, and then there are kids, if there's something wrong, they're responsible.
Sure, exactly. Yeah, exactly. You're either responsible or you're responsible.
Sort of, yeah.
All right, it's 9:26. Carol and Steve, hang on for me. We're going to get you after the news, I promise. David and Chris, Todd with 1D, you're listening to 670 KBOI.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
Welcome back to the show, 9:37. We are talking about responsibility, smoking in Idaho, and Fred Martin trying to raise the actual smoking age from 18 to 21.
And as I said, I give him the benefit of the doubt that he means well, you know, because he really wants to help solve a problem, and this is one way that he feels, you know, he might be able to do it. It just seems, as people have said, a little bit nanny state.
Yes.
And a little bit protecting us from ourselves. Now, there are a lot of things that the government, as I said, does protect us from.
Sure.
I mentioned them all, you know, about soldiers and terrorists and you know, criminals and all that sort of thing. They also protect us from people who might want to run a business while ruining the environment at the same time. And I don't necessarily mean all the different things that people are talking about the last couple of years. But when they first came up with regulations about the air and the water, good idea. We breathe air and we drink water.
Very much. Very important.
We need those things. And so
ask Flint, Michigan, how important
that is. Yeah, exactly. Flint, Michigan. If you ruin all that stuff, then the government has not done their job. And again, we are technically the government.
Exactly.
The people. And so we're the ones who technically decide on it. I don't know that it necessarily works that way, but technically that's what it's supposed to be.
336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, or #670 on your Verizon Wireless. Let's head out to Nampa and Rocky. You're on 670 KBOI. How are you, sir?
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Listen, I've been watching for many years the programming of the American people to stop smoking. And then if you've seen the advertisements on TV that couldn't advertise or anything like that. So what's happened now? The only difference is you can't advertise cigarettes on TV,
mm-hmm.
but you can advertise booze and get drunk and have an accident and kill somebody and ruin your family on booze. That's okay, I guess. What the hell is going on?
Yeah. Well, it's when you put the government together piece by piece, and you don't necessarily make sure that everything is fair compared to everything else.
Well, that's true, but why now you can advertise booze? It's on TV, all over you get it.
Because the booze companies had lots of money.
Yeah, the sponsorships of all the sporting events.
Yeah,
there's a boatload of money involved in that.
And cigarettes don't?
No, they do too. I think that's just where we decided to draw the line, probably just so, you know, we can seem like we care.
But don't you find it fascinating that all is probably the worst of all drugs, and cigarettes is the least comparatively?
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
It's a good point, Rocky. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Thanks for checking in, man. We appreciate it. It does seem like a dichotomy that, you know, mothers against drunk driving and all the DUIs and everything, and you just can't turn on the TV without seeing.
James of Cunha says, when this guy ran for office, I don't think raising the smoking age was one of his promises. It's the same old crap. Better schools, better job, better roads. Then instead, they push their own beliefs. They are sheep in wolf's clothing.
See, that was going to be my next point.
I think that's a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yeah. My next point was going to be, doesn't the legislature have more important things to do? Not that cutting down smoking deaths isn't important, but I'm saying that if you raise it to 21, people who are 18 are still going to be smoking. People who are 16 are still going to smoke.
Let's put it this way. It's currently 18, and my guess is mostly everybody who wants to smoke and, you know, doesn't have strict parents probably does.
Todd with 1D, when did you start smoking?
I started when I was 18.
See, there you go.
And how I started was hanging out with my buddies, drinking,
and you
underage.
But you quit when you were about 25, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I quit when I was 25.
Now, Paul J. smoked from the time he was about 14 till he was about 35, but then he just quit cold turkey and hasn't picked one up since, as far as I know.
But the question I was thinking of, if they change from 18 to 21, wouldn't that affect, like, taxes?
No, because the same amount of cigarettes are probably going to be bought. It's illegal for 18-year-olds to buy them, so, you know, kids who are 16 smoking,
let's put it this
get
way.
It from their parents or
let's
get
it
from their
way.
Friends.
You don't have to be 18. You don't have to be 18 to get them. You have to be 18 to get them at the store by yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Steve in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI with David and Chris. How are you?
Good morning, David and Chris. I'm well, thank you.
Good.
You know, Fred brings up an interesting point here. All government is local. You know, and it gets back to your personal responsibility issues. And some people are just not personally responsible. They don't think long-term about their life. They don't think about the Declaration of Independence. They go out and get firecrackers when they celebrate Independence Day. Instead of reading the Declaration of Independence and all the things that went into building, the reason why we formed or why our forefathers formed this country. You know, mm-hmm. when you have people in England telling you how to live and they start taxing you, you get to a point that says, you know what? It's my house. It's my rules. And, you know, when parents abrogate their responsibility to raise wise and smart kids, somebody is going to fill that void, whether it be a church, a school, the government, someone else. But it's about personal responsibility. And I don't care if people smoke, but when I start smelling their smoke, that's when I have a problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it gives me and my wife a sinus infection if it continues. We have to leave when somebody starts smoking. And there were several times we were out to dinner and somebody was next to us and fired up their cigarette after they finished their meal and we're in the middle of ours. We got up and left in the middle of the meal.
Oh, yeah,
uncomfortable.
But see, Steve, that's where you're taking your personal responsibility to go, you know what, I don't want to be around cigarettes, so I'm not coming back to this restaurant. It shouldn't
exactly.
be the government telling the restaurant you have to be smoke-free.
And that's where you and I just agree so close because my house, my rules.
Yes.
All government is local.
Agree with you, Steve. Thanks
Washington,
for the call, brother.
D.C. can't help us.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No. Thanks for the call. I appreciate you checking in.
Life,
you were going to say.
Life is considerably easier when you've got somebody else calling the shots for you.
Oh, sure.
I mean, it's not fun,
But when somebody else gives you a whole set of rules to follow, not your own, but theirs, and you simply, all you have to do to exist is simply follow those rules, it's fairly easy. But that's not America.
And if
that's
your
not,
life...
That's not really what we do. I mean, we have rules that we've agreed upon, but occasionally I think we step over the line. And it's weird to try to protect people from themselves individually. Like, yeah, I can understand protecting a town from pollution. I can understand protecting, people from criminals, stuff like that. But when it comes to just personal choices, you know, some things are, well, and it's a gray area. It definitely is, because some things are terribly dangerous, like heroin.
Yes.
Okay. Heroin kills people all the time.
Yes.
You know, meth kills people all the time. Cigarettes can kill you slowly.
Yep.
So, I mean, but obviously in this country, we don't necessarily get rid of everything that kills you.
Obviously not, since I'm going to go buy a beer after the show.
There we go.
944-336-3700.
Might want to wait till noon.
It's noon somewhere.
Yeah, all true.
1-800-529-5264, #670 on your Verizon Wireless. It's David and Chris on 670 KBOI.
At Dennis Dillon's pre-owned vehicle centers, we guarantee. Details coming up on 670 KBOI.
Thank you, Rick. Those folks stay
might be a good idea.
Safe out there.
You know, wait till it subsides.
Yeah, and stops raining and snowing and everything.
Well, there's that.
949, David Allen in for Paul Jay. He will be back tomorrow. Let's go to Pro-Life. Pro-Life, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you?
Very good. You know, the smoking thing is not a very big deal, and the real problem is that in the state legislature, in the state affairs committee, those guys don't want to really bring something controversial into that and have a discussion on it. I think it was for 8 straight years they wouldn't allow add the words into the committee and have a discussion on it. And I'm against adding the words. But I kept telling them, all of them, that, listen, you need to have that in here. Have the people that for and against discuss it and have a vote on it so people become accountable. But they don't want to have accountability because especially the ones like Martin, you know, he's in a district where there's about half Republicans, half Democrats.
Actually, 15 is the closest one to downtown that's mostly Republicans.
Right.
Yeah.
But in the Boise districts, you know, if you bring up something about sexuality, like abortion is murder, or should we ban transgender operations in Idaho or something, they could bring those kind of things up. But they don't want to have that because then they have to be accountable for how they're going to vote, and then it makes it harder for them to get elected. And so that's really what's going on. So they picked something like going from 18 to 21 for smoking. That is totally, I think, stupid. That shouldn't, I mean, you know, I might vote one way or the other on it and even discuss it, but I think it's just nonsense. They have better things to do.
Yeah, well, it's like the attitude is, well, and I know people who are like this, the big problems are hard, so I'm going to ignore those and take care of the small problems.
Right, and the reason we have, like, the Supreme Court of the United States ruling on gay marriage is because Congress does not want to do anything about it, and states don't want to do anything about it. It's really a state constitutional jurisdiction. But because they don't do anything, Congress doesn't do anything, then they let the courts make a decision, and those guys sit on those courts for life.
Yeah.
They don't have to get reelected. It's just a total perversion of everything, but that's how
it works. But it is the reason the court is put together that way. So if you have the job for life, you aren't beholden to anybody, so you can make a decision without thinking about, you know, what your friend wants or what the, you know, where the money is.
Right, but a real honest judge would say, listen, that's not my jurisdiction. I'm not even going to take this case.
Yeah. Yeah.
It has to be made by the legislature.
All right, Pro-Life, thanks for checking in. We appreciate it. And I agree with something he said there. I just want all government to just do whatever the state constitution says or the federal constitution says. Just do those things. And life will be pretty good.
If you take it back to the original time when the constitution was written.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically laid out, here are a few things the government is in charge of, and basically everything else you're in charge of, state is, or your county, or your town.
Yes.
I mean, figure it out. But, you know, we don't need, it starts to seem like Big Brother taking care of us, And Big Brother doesn't take care of you. He just makes sure that you do what he wants you to do.
And he gives you noogies, too. 952, Charlie in Boise. You're on 670 KBOI. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing pretty well. How about, you know, David, how are you?
Oh, yeah, I'm okay. Good, too.
We're doing pretty well, so that's good.
So, I've got a question. If they were to successfully raise the smoking age to 21, mm-hmm. would they give those that have already been smoking grandfather rights?
They did that with drinking. When it was raised, from the age of 19 to 19 in one day, 19 in 2 days, you know, until they got it for, essentially, they had it for 2 years. There was a transition to 21. So they would probably do the same thing with smoking.
And another thing, I'm told totally disagree with some of the things that pro-life said when how they're against a gay marriage.
Mm-hmm.
To me, in my books, isn't that a discrimination?
It qualifies as discrimination. There are a lot of negative things that qualify as discrimination, and there.
Thanks for the call, Charlie.
Then you can use the word differently and say, well, I have discriminating tastes. Meaning, you know, I only like good food, only
sure.
good wine, stuff like that. So it can be a positive or a negative, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah. Scotty in Middleton, you're the last call. How are you this morning, sir?
I'm doing well. My mother used to tell me, now I'm a wee bit, I guess I'm a wee bit older than you guys, but my mother used to always tell me that if you were meant to smoke, you would have been born with a chimney on your head. So that's all I'm going to say, guys. Have a good day and enjoy your programs.
All right, yeah. Scotty. Thanks. We appreciate it.
It's almost as good as, you know, if you were meant to smoke, you'd be on fire right now.
Yeah, exactly. I just don't know how it's going to slow anybody down who wants to smoke.
Yeah.
Because if you and I have both seen people I know everywhere that are under the age of 18 that are smoking now.
But it's like the marijuana laws. You know, I heard somebody say one time, you know, we can't make marijuana legal here in Idaho because then people in Idaho would start smoking it. And I thought, wow, you only know certain kinds of people, don't you?
Yeah. And I see the roads are a mess, and I see, you know, infrastructure is a mess. And I would just rather the state legislature deal with that.
But like I said, you know, you can prioritize, but the things at the top of the list are difficult.
Yeah.
That's why we haven't got them completely figured out after hundreds of years.
That's true. And like I say, I give him credit. At least, you know, I don't think he's doing it for his own personal well-being. I think he's doing it for the well-being of people. He doesn't want people dying of cancer.
Yeah, right.
But everybody knows cigarettes will give you cancer. And so if you start to smoke, that's on you, not on government.
Or it probably should be.
Can I borrow a cigarette?
I've never had one, but
I'm going to start smoking right now.
You can borrow one, just not from me.
All right. 9:56. Rush comes up after the news. Paul Jay will be back tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your day, everybody, on 670 KBOI.